Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the son of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for the guest in the guest room. And then our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. This is the word of the Lord. And now we'll welcome James Geyer from Hawk, which is the Housing Action of Wabash County.
Thank you so much for the invitation for us to be here today. It's the work of the Spirit. And thank you for your the generosity you've shown for our work in the past and in the future. If you look at the various Bible commentaries and things of these two scriptures, you'll find that scholars sometimes wrangle over the details with them. By the end, did they mean a commercial establishment or relatives' houses? Was the stable a structure, like we see in the Christmas stores, or was it like in a cave where the animals were kept? It doesn't matter. Joseph and a very pregnant Mary were denied the hospitality afforded to most of the visitors of Bethlehem. And the most compassionate response they got was, you can sleep and have your baby in the barn. Or perhaps the modern equivalent would be, you can sleep here and have your baby in the garage. Similarly, in the second scripture, there are those who argue that the least of these include only his disciples. But looking at Jesus' ministry as a whole, can you really think that the one who spent his time with lepers and adulteresses and tax collectors and hated minorities and occupying soldiers and the like is going to limit his compassion to those who already believe in him? So let's not play theological games and accept the word as it is plainly laid out. God's compassion, as realized and revealed by Jesus the Christ, is unlimited. We're called to love everyone, regardless of how we judge them. So let us, for a few minutes, as we share this morning, think in some detail about the least of these and what sheep, as opposed to goats, can do for them. So, the first question I have for you is, where will you sleep tonight? For most of us, there's a pretty easy answer. But for far too many of our neighbors, there's not. Or the answer may be, I'll sleep in my car, or it's starting to rain and I don't have any other place. I'll sleep under that bridge. Those are the folks that I want to talk about this morning. Next slide. Many of our neighbors face housing insecurity, and the reason is straightforward. You know, there's not enough money for them to have a house, or in some cases, they may even have almost enough money, but there's not many houses available. So I'm afraid this is a little hard to see here, but especially for me. But I want to point out some numbers here. If you look at the green bar there, okay, that's the full-time hourly wage, full-time hourly wage for residents of Wabash County. And to remind you, the median is the average, where it's like half the people are below that and half the people are above that. Okay, and so the median wage in Wabash is a little over $32 an hour. The blue box there, which is a bit under, was $15.77 an hour. That's the average age of people who do not own their homes but who rent. Okay, so people who rent in general make about half of the median wage in Wabash County. The pink that's off to the left, that's the federal poverty level, which is $14.48 an hour. And so you can see that those of us in the county who rent their jobs are on average just slightly above the poverty level. If we go down to the purple down at the towards the right hand side, that's $7.25. That's the minimum wage in Indiana, and all the way down that little tiny black bar, that's $2.13 an hour. That's the minimum wage if you have tip income. $2.13 an hour. And then the yellow bar there is a little bit different, because this is a household instead of an individual job amount. This is how much households make, and this yellow bar that's $35 and plus is for those that are so-called Alice households. So if you could, yeah. So an Alice household, okay, that's where that comes from, is asset limited, is the AL, meaning they don't own many things that could be sold for cash. You know, they don't have a house or a car that's paid off necessarily. They're income constrained. They don't make much money. Again, $35.28 an hour total household income. And now, that's for a family of four, which includes two adults, an elementary age child, and an infant. And then the E is employed. Okay, so these are the folks that have often been referred to in the past as the working poor. And can I have a, and they are, in essence, one life event away from being homeless. These people in these Alice households make enough to meet the minimum requirements of life, as you know, and including like no more than 30% of their income goes towards housing, but they make just that much or less, and so they are, again, one life event from being homeless. And by life event, I mean maybe an illness, maybe a loss of vehicle, particularly if it's not insured or adequately insured, or taking on an additional family member. We have experience with many families that, in essence, it's grandma taking care of the kids, because either mom or both parents are not available, or they're only they're not available for, you know, enough of the time to actually do the raising of the kids. So the result is that and all this is Wabash County, and actually it's 2023 data, because that's the most recent we have. 37%, think about that number, 37% of Wabash County households struggle with housing insecurity. So in this pie chart, the green, that's the fraction of households that that are okay. There are about 31,000 households, and of those, over 1,400, almost 1,500 households live in poverty. That's below the federal poverty level. And what you see in this yellow group, which is, you can see about a quarter of the county, those are people in the Alice households. Those are the people who are making it for now. And so that's kind of where we are at the moment. But then, I mean, in terms of people's income, but if we look at availability, the it turns out that the average household in Wabash County, again, cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment or house in Wabash County. The fair market value for a two-bedroom is $932 a month. Okay, the survival budget, which is considered, again, the minimum to live and work, for a family of four needs to make then a bit over $73,000 a year, and the median income is $68,000 a year. So the average household struggles to afford a two-bedroom apartment. This is rental. And so as a result, far too many of our neighbors end up being homeless. And think about, what does it mean to be homeless? The obvious thing is that you're limited in your number of possessions. It's only what you can carry on your back or stuff into your car, if you've got a car. It means that you need to find public facilities to take care of your personal care and hygiene needs. And you know, how many places do you go into where there's, you know, a big sign on the door saying, you know, restrooms are for
are for customers only. It means being criminalized and humiliated. I mean, it's actually, in essence, against the law to be homeless. There's a Vagrancy Act that says no person shall loiter about the streets, alleys, or public places without visible means of support. Fortunately, these are not often enforced, but they're there and they can be. It means enduring constant public scrutiny and humiliation. You see people sitting on the street, obviously with their possessions, or in a park or something like that, and it's hard to not look askance at those folks. And it means needing constantly to ask for assistance. And so this can be devastating to your self-esteem. In addition, you need an address to fill out a job application, to apply for rent. So if you don't have a home, oftentimes you have a hard time getting a home because they want to know where you're coming from. You need a license. I mean, you need an address for a driver's license to register your kids for school. Just to get mail. And there's a lot more. Those of us who have permanent addresses just don't understand fully what having that place to live, that place to sleep means for us. Well, let me switch from this kind of depressing news into things that we're folks in our community are working to help ameliorate these problems. So let me, so we have Housing Action of Wabash County, and our mission here is to provide a collaborative effort to address housing barriers for very low and moderate income residents of Wabash County. And the two big words, well, the biggest word here is collaborative. Nobody does this alone, and we grew out of a grassroots organization of folks who were concerned about homelessness and housing insecurity, and from that started meeting together to try to address the housing barriers, the things that keep folks in that situation. And so we meet monthly from agencies, but also, it's individuals who are, folks whose agencies are impacted by housing insecurity ever since 2014. And we meet on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 2:00 at the Wabash Church of the Brethren up on Bond Street. And you're all invited at any time. And so what we do, is we talk together and we work to learn about what each of the various groups in the county do, and how we can work together. One of the things that Hawk has done in the last year or so is we put together something called a housing helpline. And this is and we'll give you the number in a little bit. The housing helpline is, and I want to point out, first of all, that this is not as widely advertised as it could be, and hopefully will be in the future. But in the last year, and this, because this is mostly from word of mouth, Rhonda fielded 229 calls. So about
what is that, maybe 5 calls a week, a little something like that, of people who are facing housing insecurity of some part. 129 of those, 129 are people who are homeless. So there were 129 families, sometimes it's individuals, but often it's families, who contacted us saying, we're homeless, we need help. And again, this is just the people who called. There were another 22 who called, 23, who were in danger of becoming homeless. Okay, so these are people who they're going to be evicted at the end of the month, which sometimes is 2 days from now, because they can't come up with the money, or there's some other reasons too. There's another 54 were people who were in homes, but they need assistance. They can see that they're not going to be able to make their mortgage payment. They're not going to be able to make their rent payment. They're calling to see if there's somebody who can pay for at least part of their housing costs. There were another 13 that were housing related, and a lot of these were people who have utility, you know, they can't pay their electric bill, or their gas bill, or their water bill. And so they're housed, but it may not actually be a living situation if they don't get help, because the heat's gonna be turned off and the electricity. And then there were 10 who were either people who called us who were outside of Wabash County, and we have so much need here and so few resources that we've decided we need to limit ourselves to Wabash County. And there were a few others who called and we couldn't get a hold of later. Another thing that has happened that's has actually been a dream of this organization since we started meeting in 2014 is we now have an emergency homeless shelter. There are 3 upgraded motel rooms at Wabash Bliss Point Inn, out on 15, right where it splits from 13, south end of town. It's small. Right now, there are only 3 rooms in this, and it's taken a joint effort. This is not just a hawk effort. The city of Wabash has contributed. Advantage Housing has contributed greatly. And the 3 of us together, three organizations, have signed long-term leases where we've upgraded 3 motel rooms and that can be used as shelters. We will be expanding to 6 rooms by the end of the year. But ever since we opened these 3 rooms, we've been keeping a waiting list, which has been running typically 10 to 12 families who need to get in who can't. And that's in addition to the 3 who have. We figure we need at least a dozen rooms, and then so that's where we're trying to grow into. Crucially, we don't just stick people in the room. If you do that, then you're going to be seeing them over and over again. But we provide support services in terms of, for us, the main thing is referrals to other agencies. But then also we do housing counseling. Rhonda's the point person for that, to help them do the work they need to do to get into a permanent housing, normally a rental.
And one of the things about that is, since we've been able to shelter more people, it's helped us in this, from the extent that every year in January, there's a nationwide point in time count that tries to count every homeless person in America, everyone who was homeless that night. Before this opened, typically we would find we would say that there were like 12 people who were homeless on that night. We know that there's many more than that. People often will not want to come in and register with the federal government the fact that they're homeless. This is people who are sheltered and unsheltered. And so with our sheltering, like this last year, the PID count went up to 39. And that's important because that lets the government know how dire the situation is here, and so can unlock more government resources. We also have what are called host homes, housing option short term. These are 6 efficiency apartments for women and children. This has been a team effort, mostly led by Advantage Housing. But Advantage Housing is turning over the case management and housing counseling over to Hawk in the next couple of months. In addition, Advantage Housing has 4 below market rate units down the street here on Hill Street, and which is gradually increasing rent as those who live in these apartments can pay, and there are plans afoot to increase those substantially. Now, I've given you a lot of statistics. I'd like Rhonda to come up and tell you a little bit about some individual stories to put a face on this. Rhonda, please.
Hi, everybody. Some of your faces I recognize. I was born and raised in Wabash County, me and my husband, Jeff. And we just feel that it is an honor that we get to give back to this community in this way. With me being part of Hawk and also Advantage Housing, it has been a very, very eye-opener to us too as to how many people are actually homeless here in Wabash. And when we say homeless, that means someone that does not have a place to live, lay their head, they don't have a physical address, or they're living in situations that are very unhealthy for them. As I go down through some of these stories, you'll kind of connect some of those reasons and connections as to why we call them homeless. You know, I'm blessed to be the boots on the ground here, working as a case manager, one-on-one with these families to address their housing needs and be able to direct them to our resources here in the community. And a lot of you may be involved in those other resources, as we mentioned these here that are sitting right here in this building. When a client comes into us, we get them out of the shelter, out of the rain, out of the elements, get them into a shelter space. And we work with nonprofits in the community to do that as well. We work a lot with Lighthouse Mission, Growing Grounds, and other entities to get them into a safe place. And then I try to make an appointment with those individuals and see, you know, how'd you get here? Where do we need to go? What resources do you need? So I kind of overlook all of their barriers with them and just see, you know, you know, and we kind of estimate. We make a housing plan. You know, how long is it going to take you to get rehoused? How long is it going to take you to find that job? How long is it going to take you to, you know, be able to sign a lease agreement on your own again? Because there are some restraints on that here, even in our low-income housing that we have, like Colonial Heritage or Meadowbrook. You know, we try to refer and get those individuals on those wait lists as soon as possible, but those wait lists are anywhere from 2 years to 5 years before they can actually get in to an actual place that goes by their income. So income-based housing is a big need here in Wabash County, because we have no place to move our clients to without it, because they all need income-based housing. So, but we, you know, we have had the opportunity to work with several individuals already. I have worked with, as of the end of April, I have worked with 61 adults and 50 children, and have worked with them to get a housing plan, to do case management, to do budgeting, all of those things, cover their needs, whether that be physical or, you know, like maybe just clothing, maybe food. You know, we direct them to those nonprofits here in Wabash that can supply them those needs too as well. My very first client, I mean, this is a great way for me to start this out. she was already in a unit, and Dell with Advantage Housing was already working with her. She was actually in a unit that Advantage Housing was actually leasing from Habitat for Humanity. So there was this family was in there. She was a single mom with many barriers and had two little girls. And we worked with her for a couple years, but she was able to go from homelessness to home ownership then through Habitat for Humanity. And her daughters helped build their home through that service. So those are the kind of neat things and the success stories that we would love to see for every one of our clients. But, you know, we will work with Habitat for Humanity as many as we can in the future. And then we have been able to help a senior woman on a very limited income. So our clients don't just run in one age category. We are seeing anywhere from teenagers without homes to seniors without homes, and families and everything else in between. So the senior woman came to us, and I mean, she had multiple evictions. I mean, her eviction record was bigger than any I'd ever seen, and it's all because she only drew $900 a month, and she tried, and she tried, and she tried, but she could not make it on her own, and she could not get into an income-based facility because of her evictions. So we worked with her for 2 years. We're able to eventually get her into the senior town apartments. And she is still there today, and when she sees me, she says, I'm paying my rent first, because that was one of the things that we really worked on with her, is to, you know, pay that rent first, and then if you need assistance on other things, call me, you know, because she needed to pay her rent first. And as far as I know, she's still doing good in there. We have had a single mother that saved her money on her own and entered into a lease agreement with a private landlord. And through that, she was able to be reunited with her children, which is some of the organizations that we work with will be DCS. We take clients from domestic violence, which is Hands of Hope. We work with Heidi closely on those. If I have a unit available, we will get those women and children in a safe place and out of that horrible environment that they are in. We also have had a single mom. There was, we had connections with a state grant at one time, and that state grant gave us rapid rehousing money, which we were able to use to put the to pay off the individual's evictions, past utilities, and give this mama a brand new fresh start with her children. She had three children, and she was in our small units with three children for 2 years, and they paid their dues, believe me. Our efficiency apartments are small that are on Wabash Street, but it was better than her and her family being in a car or on the street. So we worked with her. We were able, through that rapid rehousing money, to pay off her large eviction and all of her past utilities. So she was able to start in a lease agreement with a private landlord on a clean slate, which was just an amazing thing that I get to witness. I get to witness these things. I got a front row seat to them. It's wonderful. We have worked with foster teens. We have kids that are aging out of the foster system here in Wabash County, and they are living on the streets, or they're hopping from one friend's house to another, and some of them have gotten into trouble before they called me in that process. But we have worked with Kokomo Area 5 program, which Wabash is in the Area 5 region of Indiana. And we have worked with that program in order to get them assistance. And they also, through that grant program, can help those individuals up to a year get on their feet. So we have some other resources even outside of Wabash that we work with. We have seen several of our clients, and this last year I have had three clients get their high school diplomas or equivalencies. And we refer them to the Learn More Center and they work with them. We've also had one client get a paid internship through the Learn More Center and Brightpoint here in Wabash. Brightpoint's helped supply that stuff. So it's just an amazing thing that, you know, the resources that we do have when we sit down and actually know what those are and have be able to direct those individuals to them. And I did mention that we worked with the DV clients, Hands of Hope. We also, this year, we had our first health department call, which was interesting. We had a family of six that was living here in Wabash County in a home with high levels of lead, which was affecting all of the children and the parents. So we even got to help the health department by providing some shelter for that family temporarily until they could find other housing. And so those are just kind of a few of the stories. I have many more, and I'd love to share those with you, but I won't stand here and talk all day. You know, and the reason that this works is because we take the time to sit down with these families and work one-on-one with them, provide them this case management in this direction. We are hoping to get more individuals involved, hopefully be able to grow this and hire another case manager, so that way we can even do more case management with individuals. But through the networking group that Jim mentioned up here, that we hold every month, we are connected with law enforcement, all kinds of businesses in the community, and we just work together in this community behind the scenes and try to connect, the lower income people to resources and get them the care that they need. This work I look at as a ministry. This is really a ministry that we do with these individuals. And every chance that I get, we will talk about Jesus, because we know that he is a lasting answer to a lot of our insecurities and issues and problems that we have. So when that door is open, I gladly step in, and we do talk about Jesus sometimes in my office. So I look at it as not only a job or work, it is a ministry that we're doing here in the community for these individuals. And we just want to invite you to be a part of that and share in that any way that you can. If you have any other questions or anything, I've got some new flyers that just came hot off the press. We'd love to give some out today, and you can talk to me after the church service. Give it back to Jim here.
Thank you, Rhonda. Okay, so, I mean, the key here is the fact that this is a collaborative effort. Okay, and so we would like to invite you to become more and more involved with your community. And so there's a couple things we can suggest: is to volunteer your time to HAWQ or another nonprofits. I mean, Habitat for Humanity, Advantage Housing, Growing Grounds, and others need volunteers to help carry out their work. I want to encourage you to support local nonprofits through the United Fund, Chili for Charity, the Salvation Army, and there are many others. Also, of course, we'd like you to support HAWQ and other nonprofits financially, so as well as with your time. And perhaps even most important is to become an advocate for the housing insecure. Advocate among friends and family and fight the stereotypes that these are just lazy people who enjoy not having the responsibilities of a house. And let our political leaders hear that housing insecurity is a priority for us. And so in essence, we'd like you to help us make room in the inn. And thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you today. Bless you.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.